Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Night. My name's Richie.
My name's Jack.
My name's Joe.
In today's episode, we're going to be discussing Toy Story. We're also going to be discussing the upcoming David Brent film, as well as the Steve Jobs biopic. So, Jack, Joe, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing really well, thanks, Richie.
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you, Richie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, Joe. Have you guys had a good week?
Great week. Yeah, very good week indeed. Yeah, let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, good to know. Let's move on.
I think we always learn a lot from these little talks. The listeners really get an insight into our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I think we should try a bit harder. Seriously, has anyone done anything of interest? You booked a holiday today?
Yeah, I booked a holiday, that's right.
Booked a holiday?
Yeah, I'm going, me and my girlfriend are going to go to Spain.
Yeah, sorry ladies, he is taken.
Okay.
I know a lot of you will be emailing in, asking for his number and stuff.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You can tell a lot from the sound of a guy's voice.
Whereabouts in Spain are you going? You got a house there?
I have got a house there. My parents have. But we're going to be using it, flying out to Malaga.
Very nice.
Yeah. And
We were actually saying earlier, wouldn't it, how cool it would be one day for maybe us three and some friends to go over and maybe even record a podcast.
And then you can hear us record from Spain. How great will that be?
By the pool, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's just broadening our global fan base, really.
And yeah.
We might even speak in Spanish.
Hola.
And see?
That would be the end of it. So you booked a holiday?
Anyone else? Anyone else done anything this week?
Work. Yeah, I went
great.
To...
Tell us what you do, Joe.
What do I do? Oh, I just act, really. That's all I do, yeah.
That's
do the odd acting.
That's underselling it. Come on, you do about four shows in a day, don't you?
Four shows in a day, yeah, that's sometimes true. All different shows. Varying in length, varying in style, varying in audience. Travel the country. So
it's very impressive. And
you're a very talented man, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
And Jack here is unemployed.
I've been sitting on my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not just doing that though, Jack, are you?
Yeah, you are.
You're doing other things. What are you studying?
I do work on Sundays.
You don't do anything.
You work on Sundays, the day of rest for everybody else.
Yeah.
And now that obviously I've finished my first year at uni, I've got a few more dates coming in over the coming months that have been added on the rota for, so I'll get a bit more coming in when we get into June, but obviously I'd like more than I currently do have.
Nobody cares, Jack.
But you're studying at uni. What are you studying?
Studying sports journalism at uni. I don't really think we should go into this much.
Richie, what do you do?
What do I do? Good question, Joe. Thanks for asking.
He designs little emails.
I'm a web designer and a social media executive for an e-commerce website called gardensandhomesdirect.co.uk. Look it up.
Yeah, we've got some pictures. Buy
some furniture from us.
Nice little plug.
Oh, summer's coming up, isn't it?
Summer is coming up. So, that's all I'm saying.
Hey, they could be our sponsor.
They could be.
But Ludlig and Slads already have a contract, so...
Oh, right, okay.
Nobody knows what that is, Jack.
It's a football team we're part of, and Joe's the manager, and I'm president of, and Richie's just a player. But anyway, I think we should get into the film now.
Yeah, why not? Should we jump right into it?
Let's get into it. We've been talking about... We've been watching Toy Story. What did you guys think?
Well, really enjoyable film.
Yeah.
I think it was a great way to start off our... You know, to do our first ever animated film...
Obviously, we've all seen the film before.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. It was
but
great.
But just to specify for anybody that may be listening that has never seen Toy Story, I'll just read out the synopsis.
I would be surprised.
Well, you never know.
You're very strange if you haven't.
Don't alienate our fans, Jack.
Sorry.
No, come back. Please, come back. We need you.
Anyway, I'm going to read out the synopsis here. A cowboy doll is profoundly threatened and jealous when a new spaceman figure supplants him as top toy in a boy's room. Not a very clear synopsis, that is.
I don't think that's the best synopsis.
It's a simple one.
But everybody knows Toy Story. It could be a bit more upbeat, livelier than that, couldn't it?
Mm.
Well, I think that's our job to make it come to life.
Ah, yeah, I suppose.
Like the toys in the film.
Yeah. It was 1996, was it, the release of the UK anyway?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
UK release, and it was the highest grossing film of the year, of that year.
Mm.
And also, I think it's, well, it's definitely in the top 10 of all time, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But enough of these
facts.
These facts. Let's get into how you felt about the film. Let's start off, because I really love the very beginning right after the introduction of the song and all that, when these toys actually first come to life, I just think that's such a brilliant start to the film.
Yeah.
And yet, especially Mr. Potato Head, he's like the wittiest comments in the world.
Well, you meet so many characters at once.
Yeah.
They're all there in the first scene. It's just a great sequence, isn't it? Because obviously, I know Andy's acting out something with the toys. Like,
well, he's just playing with them, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just playing with the toys.
Yeah.
And obviously he leaves the room and that's when it all kicks off.
There's a brilliant moment where Mr. Potato Head's kind of putting all his parts back together, and he puts them all in the wrong place, and goes up to goes up to Ham and says, "Hey, look, I'm Picasso."
Well, that's one of you said that, didn't you? There's actually more jokes for adults than there are.
Yeah,
for
kids. That's right. We mentioned this briefly when we were talking about The Incredibles 2 last week.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just brilliant.
It's strange, really, because I never really noticed how much it was aimed at older people before.
Well, when was the last time you watched
this? Not ages ago, but fair long time.
Yeah.
But it's one of those films where the more you watch it, you notice things that you didn't notice before.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of jokes, or it's quite strange actually how sort of mature it is.
Well, that's the thing, because we were watching these when we were kids, and you don't get half the jokes.
No.
But now, as your mind sort of opens and you're more aware of what things mean and things like that, you know, that's what happens, and you become more aware of these jokes, and it's actually probably more fun watching it as our age than it is sort of when you're 5 and 6.
When you're that young, you just sort of appreciate the colours and all the you just appreciate all the like slapstick comedy and the fight scenes and stuff.
It's really a parent film, isn't it?
Yeah,
as most animations are.
That's why it's such a perfect family film, because literally. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but it is fun for all the family.
Well, yeah.
Mm.
But something that adds to it even more is the voice acting is just so on point, isn't it? I mean, the frustration that you get from Tom Hanks' voice when Woody's yelling at Buzz, it's just hilarious.
Who voices Buzz?
Tim Allen.
That's it, Tim Allen. Yeah, the voices are very strong. It's actually a really hard thing to do, voice acting, because you can't sort of get across any facial expressions.
Yeah, you're just voice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's a really clever thing to do, and you really appreciate it when you watch it.
There was one sequence at the beginning as well that I really love, which is the, you know, the army toys.
Oh yes,
first of all, I just love how like the biggest disaster for the toys is Andy's birthday party, and how they might be replaced by new toys. I just think it's so inspired.
Well, it's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yeah,
but another good scene is when they're all the kids are arriving for the party and looking out the window and they see all these presents.
Yeah.
One of the good lines is Rex says, "Are there any dinosaur shaped ones?" And is it
Ham?
Ham. Ham says, "No, they're all in boxes, you idiot." Yeah. Delivered so dryly.
I know. Yeah,
that's a good line. But all the characters have their own sort of distinct personalities. Like obviously Rex is. Although he's meant to be this dinosaur, he's really shy and
nervous,
scared.
And, yeah.
Then you've got Ham, who's just incredibly witty and
he is, like, dry,
cocky.
Yeah. And
Mr. Potato
Head, just sarcasm. And,
yeah.
Oh, Mr. Potato.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got the whole other angle of this relationship between Woody and Little Bo Peep.
Yes.
What a little whore she is.
He said that so many times during.
Well, she was. Yeah, bloody she hell. Was.
As soon as Buzz turned up, she was like, "I found my moving buddy."
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It's like, whoa, you were just talking to Woody.
Yeah.
Stupid bitch. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she and Woody just have sex as well at one point during the film.
Do they?
Right at the end.
Oh, yeah. When he goes, is that mistletoe? and she grabs him by the throat with a stick and just... Yeah. And
it suggests that all they're doing is kissing, but they're definitely fucking.
What about the scene when we're first introduced to Sid when he's outside of trying to blow up that little
army toy.
Yeah.
It's a chilling scene.
He's so sadistic, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, when you're young, you don't really realise what he's...
No, you do.
Well, you do.
It freaks you out when you're a kid.
Yeah.
I actually remember being scared of
the whole thing in his room.
Oh, my God.
Creepy as fuck.
I remember being really scared when all the toys came out.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is scary, yeah.
Even today, I was like, ah! So I was glad we were all watching it together.
Okay. Yeah, I did feel a clutch of my leg when and, my left leg.
That wasn't me, Joe.
Was it not?
How does it advance? Well, the whole plot is obviously Andy and the family are moving house. And then obviously when Andy and Buzz get separated from the main group, they've got to get back and make sure they don't miss the moving truck. That's the whole point of it, really.
Yeah.
But
well, it's mainly just about them being lost.
Yeah. But I don't know, everyone seems to turn on Woody a bit too quickly for my liking. Like, yeah, he said a few things that were a bit sort of, oh, he's clearly a bit jealous of Buzz, but the way everyone turned on him, apart from Slink.
He did. They did all get told that he pushed pushed Buzz out of the window, though.
Oh, it was by Mr. Potato Head, wasn't it?
No, no, it was RC, the race car. That told them.
Yeah, he didn't actually use words, though, because he can't speak, can he? Mr. Potato Head was like, oh, yeah.
Mr. Potato Head sort of said what he wanted RC to say.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Potato Head obviously doesn't like... A bit jealous of Woody.
No, I don't think that's true.
I don't know.
He is jealous of
me. No, you're being a bit unfair on Mr. Potato.
I mean, maybe Mr. Potato Head's like a preschool toy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
No, but he did push Buzz out the window.
No, the lamp knocked him out.
Right, but from a...
Yeah, he meant to knock him down the side of the drawers.
Right, but nobody knew that, did they?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
Here we go again, round two.
But everyone turns on Woody, and then obviously he only sort of regains their trust right at the end when he sort of gets reunites everyone.
I think that works. That's fine.
It does work.
But the weird thing is that in Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3, I think it's Toy Story 3 mainly, they turn on him again, and it happens pretty much the same way. And by that point, you're kind of thinking, shouldn't they just trust him now? He's been right every single time.
Yeah, he has saved. You know, he has saved.
But they never trust him.
No,
not true. Very good friends.
Also, what do we think of Andy's mum? She's a bit of a dumb, stupid woman, isn't she?
Yeah. I think Andy's a bit of an idiot as well, isn't he? Well, like right at the end when they fly in and land right next to him on top of the box. He's been looking for them for ages and he just looks down and sees them on top of the box that he's been sitting next to and thinks, oh wow, oh they were right here the whole time. Fucking idiot. What's the matter with you?
And his mum goes, I told you you'd find them. Oh
God.
But
where's your fucking brain?
No, the whole reason Sid ends up with them in his room and they're obviously sort of hostage to Sid is because they go to Pizza Planet.
What a place.
It does look cool. Yeah.
Looks amazing.
I mean, Buzz thinks it's a spaceport.
I would think it's a spaceport.
It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
That was another obviously really good scene when they're stuck in the what's that?
Oh, the claw machine.
Yeah, they're stuck in the claw machine.
The claw machine cult is amazing.
And they're all saying, "I've been chosen. I'm going to a better place." Yeah, that was a good one.
No, you're not.
Farewell, my friends.
No, and it when they're in Sid's room as well, they get stuck in there, and all his fucked up toys start coming in.
Yeah, that was
and start trying to grab them, and they think they're fucking cannibals. I mean, that's just
a brilliant
thing to say. How can you think of that? Cannibal toys.
I do remember being scared of that scene when I was younger.
Oh no, my favourite joke though is when Sid's pretending to perform an operation on the on the couple of the toys, and Buzz just goes, "I don't believe that man's ever been to medical school."
I love it. It's quite annoying actually when Buzz finally realises he's just a toy, because all his lines and all his like terms of being a space ranger, they're so good.
Hilarious.
It's so like, I don't know, I just love it before he finds out.
I know. Well, that's why they keep bringing that idea back. They bring it back in the second and the third one, actually. Mm. He reverts back to his normal setting.
When Woody,
because it's just so hilarious.
It is, and when Woody turns on his laser and he goes, "Would you be careful with that? That's extremely dangerous." And he goes, I'll change it from stun to kill.
Oh, great. Yeah, if we get attacked, we can blink him to death.
There are a lot of well-delivered one-liners.
Yeah.
I like the whole sequence when, obviously, they've got to save Buzz from... Sid's literally about to blast him off. Yeah. Using the rocket, and there's a massive sequence when all Sid's toys turn against him, and Woody gets them on side. Each one of them has their own job, and they go through the vent, and that whole scene of
ring the doorbell,
distracting the dog. That's a good great sequence.
Escape or something.
Yeah. And the whole idea of scaring Sid by actually coming to life.
Yeah,
you wouldn't expect that because obviously it's a massive secret.
Yeah,
but they had to do it to save Buzz.
Mm-hmm. And then they're running after the moving truck, which is obviously finished and is on its way now, so they need to get back. It's just so weird that they just get stuck in the middle of the road and a car comes, beats its horn at them. Beeps a horn at a toy in the road.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
There wasn't many continuity errors. I know you two like to look for them.
No, yeah.
I found a couple.
Yeah, I found one or two. Yeah, Joe found one. There's a couple, but it's always fun just to look for them and see if there's any like stupid
ones. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's nothing I would hold against a film.
No.
At all.
And actually, for the year, like, 1996, good animation.
It was really good animation for the time. There were a couple of, like, the humans look really weird. And I think the worst part is Sid's dog looks really weird.
Yeah, when it runs.
Yeah, and it's just its eyes. They don't look right at all.
But for its time, I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah. Do you want to move on to favourite scenes? Oh, actually, first, do you have a favourite character?
Ooh, I do like Rex.
Rex.
Yeah. Rex is... I just like his character.
Yeah.
I just like what he comes out with. Although, to be fair, I know he's not prominent.
No, but he is very memorable.
Yes. I think they all are, aren't they? I think that's the good thing about Toy Story, is you could recognise any single toy.
Yeah.
Even if it's the sketch, or the, you know, the binoculars, or the car, you know, these toys are instantly recognisable, and it's the Toy Story brand, isn't it? I mean, I don't think any of us probably grew up without a Toy Story toy.
I had a Woody,
me and my brother had a Woody, a Buzz, a Jesse.
I don't think I actually...
Did you not? I had a car.
I had a Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Potato Head is my favourite character.
I was going to say, he's so...
He's just brilliant.
He's such a... Oh. it's weird, like, you think Toy Story, and you actually do think of Mr. Potato Head sometimes before you would think of Buzz and Woody.
Mm.
But he is so memorable.
Yeah.
As if iconic is too strong a word. But
no, I don't think so. I think he's very iconic.
Yeah, he's such a memorable character.
But he wasn't created by them, wasn't he? There was already a toy.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. That's
he's cool. Not part of the Toy Story brand, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say Mr. Potato Head. Probably Woody. I know he's the main character, but...
No, he is great. He is great.
Probably would say him.
Yeah. And Buzz as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just very strong lead
characters
and characters.
I also like... what's the little binocular guy called?
Don't know. Does he have a name?
I think he does, but I can't remember.
Yeah, because at the very end, Little Bo Peep says, "Why were you called Spotted something?"
I like him.
He's a cute little guy.
Okay. Right. How do you feel about Randy Newman's score?
Yes. Wow, it's a classic, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
All you need to hear is the start of that song, and you just...
Doom.
You have to sing along, you have to click along.
Doom. That's what you love. I love the other two songs as well.
Oh yeah, they're all really good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The really sad one, when Buzz realises he's not a toy.
That's a great scene.
He is a toy. Just as he's walking the room where he's just seen the advert.
Yeah.
And
he tries to fly off the banister.
Yeah.
That's a great scene.
Even though he knows deep down he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
He just wants to try and prove to himself that he can.
But I love when he eventually falls to the ground and his arms come off and he looks towards it. And then he just falls dead.
Yeah. What do we think of the ending as well?
Cheesy ending, isn't it?
It is cheesy. I like the ending, though. Buzz and Woody get on, everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It calls back to the whole disaster of presents, new toys replacing them at occasions, and it's Christmas this time. Yeah. Only they're all a bit more relaxed about it, apart from Buzz, who's the one that's panicking now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's quite funny, actually.
Yeah.
And then there's a Mrs. Potato Head.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I need to shave," and just takes off his moustache.
Yeah.
That's a good little bit.
Yeah, it's great.
It's just the main thing is, it's just a really good, feel-good film.
It's not a feel-good film.
Well, feel-good is in...
You feel good about it.
Yeah.
That's not a feel-good
film. Okay, it's just I don't know how
it's to summarise. It's a fun film, isn't it?
Fun film, yeah. It is really fun.
What is it? Is it a U? It must be a U, wasn't it?
Of course it is.
I was just double-checking. 18.
Could you imagine?
Imagine they bring out like a Toy Story X-ray.
Well, that horror scene, bloody hell! I feel like that should be an 18. Yeah. Jesus Christ!
Or when?
Are they on about bringing out a Toy Story 4?
Yes.
Were they?
Yeah, I thought they were.
Yeah, they are.
How did the third one end?
They were given away to a little spoiler.
They know by now.
Andy gave them away to a little girl. That was featured.
Oh yeah, that was a really sad ending, actually.
It was. I don't know how I feel about them doing a Toy Story 4. I feel like they should have just ended it with that.
Well, that was the end of Andy, wasn't it? He drove off, that was it.
Yeah, so I figured they'll still be carrying it on with this new girl.
Yeah, because Andy was moving to uni, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Or college. Mm-hmm. And he'd driven off in his own car, was it, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I feel like they should have just ended it with that. That's such a great ending to this franchise.
So sad, though.
It is sad, but that's what's great about it. So they should have.
But I reckon they probably got to a point. They probably thought, we need to make another one. We need to make another one. But unfortunately, the time's gone that they had to go to college because it couldn't have still been the same age. It wouldn't have made sense.
But that was always going to be the last film, which is why they concluded it like that. And it was a great conclusion.
Yeah.
Although it was sad, it's the way it should have ended.
Yeah.
But it's weird to think, like, how can they do a fourth one? What, in this new girl's house? And we're just meant to be like, oh, this is a new. They can't really do anything.
Don't bother.
Else. Now that Andy's gone.
But they want to do it because they do that and then they push loads of products and merchandise, don't they? And
it's a cash cow.
It is a cash cow.
It's made a lot of money already. The greedy bastards.
Well, they want more, don't they? They want the new generation of children to go up and know Toy Story.
There was like a couple of like short mini movies on Sky. Do you see them?
There was that. Yeah, one. But I don't really count those.
No, I've not seen them. I don't know what they are.
I've watched them.
Well, the time forgot.
So. Yeah.
What's it?
They're okay. They're little fun shorts. They're not really.
It's like half an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. They're nothing really to shout about. I don't really count them as part of the franchise.
No, they're not.
But they're okay. Anyway, getting back to Toy Story 1.
Yes.
Did you guys know that the co-writer for this film is also the creator, the writer for The Avengers?
Really?
I didn't actually.
No, I didn't know.
Joss Whedon, yeah.
So he wrote, what, the script?
Yeah.
Huh.
Didn't know that.
He's a co-writer, I think. I'm not sure.
That's pretty cool. Well, I didn't know that. Well, you can see the similarities. I mean, the action scenes.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Maybe they modelled some of those. I know, because obviously the Avengers characters came before Toy Story, so that was a pretty stupid
thing. What are you talking about?
I was going to say, maybe they modelled some of those superheroes on Buzz, but obviously they didn't.
Yeah, that's a stupid point to make.
It was going to be a joke comment.
So you think just because Joss Whedon's written the two things, they have to be really related and they have to...
It was going to be a little funny little comment, but it was sort of backfired.
Yeah. It was a bit embarrassing for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we should quickly make another point.
Yeah. You idiot. Right, let's move on to favourite scenes. I think we've kind of talked about that enough now.
Favourite scene? Tough one. There's a few contenders, really.
You say that in every episode.
Well, there are. For this one, I'm going to go with the scene of Buzz's arrival when he first meets all the toys on the bed. All the kids run in, they drop the new toys off, Woody gets pushed off the bed, Buzz is there.
Did your heart break when Woody fell off the bed there?
It didn't break.
You died a bit.
It shattered.
Yeah. No, it didn't break. But it was just such a funny scene when they first get introduced.
Yeah.
And obviously Buzz thinks he's on this strange planet and Woody and all these other toys are like threats to him. But how they slowly sort of become obviously friends. And he obviously challenges then Buzz to fly and Woody gets all jealous and all these toys love him.
Yeah.
I think that whole scene's brilliant.
That's a good scene.
Yeah, I'd say the scene where Buzz first meets all the other toys. That's my favourite.
Joe?
Oh, my favourite scene is just before that with the army soldiers.
That is a great scene.
That scene where they, you know, right, come on, let's go, and they all like get out, parachute down the stairs, zip wire down, well, not zip wire, but you know, throw the rope down.
That whole sequence is so brilliant.
Grab the walkie talkie. Oh, what a scene.
Yeah.
That's my favourite scene.
And then the mum stands on one of the toys.
Yeah,
and then the soldier left behind.
Come on, without me.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, it's just how seriously he's shouting, like, okay, she's going into the pile.
Yeah.
We're down to the last present. It's just so, like, serious.
It's a what? What is it?
Yeah, because the kids are doing it. There's a kid in the way. I can't see. It's a. Yeah. That's a great choice, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would have been yours if you had.
It would have been. I'm going to have to pick something.
Really?
Oh, what a shame.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, to be honest, I love the scene where Woody and Buzz are at the petrol station and they're stuck under that truck. That is a great scene.
Yeah.
There's some brilliant lines in that. It's a great moment for the characters. But, so that's my favourite scene.
But the only way that Woody can sort of tempt Buzz back is, I found a spaceship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's his only weakness. Anything to do with space.
Okay. Shall we rate it out of 10? Jack?
Oh, yeah.
I don't always like going first for these.
No. Well, you have to.
Okay.
Joe, do you want to go first?
I'll go first. Okay. I'll keep the tradition. I'm going to go for an 8.
An 8, really?
Ooh. What, do you think I was going to go higher?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I could go higher, but...
You can do whatever you want, Joe.
Yeah, you're in your own man.
Yeah.
No, I think I'm happy with an 8. I mean, it's got it all.
But what brings it down to an 8 for you?
I don't know. That an 8 was my gut instinct. I like to go with my gut.
Okay, so you're going with an 8. Fair enough. Joe?
I'm going to go with a 9.
A 9.
Is that the highest yet for you?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Quite higher than ET as well, actually.
Half a point.
It was it.
Oh, no, you did it lower, didn't you?
ET at like 7.5.
7.5 you did.
Yeah. So
you put In Bruges higher than that, though, didn't you?
Yeah, but In Bruges about an 8, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I reckon a 9 for this. It's just a film that, you know, you gotta love, and that's why it's why I put it as a 9. It's great. It's so much fun to watch, and the time just flies by.
Yeah, you can never watch it too many times.
One minute you're at the beginning, the next minute you're at the end, and you think, "Where's it gone?" But it's just great.
Hmm. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, it definitely doesn't drag on at all.
No, not at all. Richie?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10.
Really?
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow, first 10 on the show.
Yeah, well...
So it's a perfect film, is it?
Well, as we say, just because we give it a 10 doesn't mean it's a perfect film. You know, there are going to be more films that I give 10s. It just means that it's a film that I really love, and there's nothing that brings it down for me. I don't think there's anything that I can say annoyed me or brings it down at all. Yeah, there's the old... car beeping at a toy in the road.
Oh my god.
Who cares, really? It's just a bit of a joke. But, yeah, it's definitely a 10 for me. I love it.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does deserve all the accolades it's received.
Yeah.
It's the second time in 4 episodes you've used the word accolade, Jen. Do you like that word?
Oh, I'll change that. You can edit that bit out. It certainly deserves all the praise it gets.
Better. I'm not going to edit that out, by the way.
Oh.
All right, it's now time, once again, for Quiz Night.
The best part.
Yeah, the part of the show where we do a quiz on the film that we've just watched. This week's Quizmaster is Jack, and I think who better to tell us what the score is so far than Jack.
Yeah.
Go for it, Jack. Well, what are we all on?
It's not very pleasant for me to read this out.
Okay.
But the current scores, Joe's on 2, Richie's also on 2.
What do you want?
I think
something higher, obviously. No?
I'm actually on a big fat 0.
Ugh.
Oh! Yeesh.
And that's not going to change this week, either.
No, because you're Quizmaster.
I'm the Quizmaster, so yeah. I'm pretty depressed about that. But right. I have until episode 12 to catch up.
You have?
I think
my chair is creaking like fuck.
Also, don't worry, guys. I think we'll also get a jingle for this section soon.
I think
it deserves one.
Nope.
Right, these questions are... I don't know. I think they're quite challenging, some of them.
Right, okay.
Let's see how we do this week, then. So, question 1. During the tally of birthday gifts, which one prompts Mr. Potato Head to wonder, who invited that kid?
Oh, shit.
What is the gift that prompts Mr. Potato Head to say, who invited that kid?
Yeah. I'm going to have to think. Oh, okay, I think I've got it.
You sure you did?
Yeah, no, I cannot think.
Oh, come on, Joe.
Put a guess down, we can... Doesn't matter.
Put a guess down.
What's a stupid gift?
Just guess a stupid gift.
I know, it's definitely not this, but there we go.
Okay, question 2. Who is Buzz Lightyear's enemy?
Easy.
A bonus point for the spelling.
Also easy.
Question 3. Look, I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Who's wearing Woody's hat?
Does he have a name?
No, just...
What type of toy is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Give me that. Question 4? Is that what we're on yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we first see Sid, which toy is he about to destroy? Now, I'll have to see what you write when we get to the answers, but it is more specific than just what you're thinking.
I remember him saying what it is, but I can't remember what he said.
Yeah.
So there is a specific answer to this. But depending on what you put, I know it's a hard question, so we'll deal with that when we get to the answers and see what we've got. Okay, and the final question for this week's quiz night. What's the name of Sid's toy-mangling dog? What's the dog's name?
Got it.
Come on, Joe.
Oh, fuck, mate. I've done rubbish in this.
Really?
I reckon so, yeah.
Okay, so let's...
I've killed it.
Let's go over the answers then. Question one was, during the tally of birthday gifts, which one prompts Mr. Potato Head to wonder, who invited that kid? I'm going to go to Joe first. What do you put?
I put a lunchbox. I know it's not the lunchbox.
Well, that's not a bad guess, because that was mentioned.
Did you mention that?
It's not that present.
But I believe the answer was bedsheets.
Correct.
Really? Yeah.
It was bedsheets. A very strange, strange present to bring. Yeah. So that's 1-0 to Richie. Question two was, who is Buzz Lightyear's enemy? Joe?
Zurg.
Evil Emperor Zurg.
Okay, that's two correct answers. What? How did you spell it, Joe?
Z-U-R-G.
I did the same.
Yeah,
show you so you can see.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, okay.
Is that 2 points?
Well, seeing as you both got it right, we'll just say one for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Question three was, look, I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Who's wearing Woody's hat?
The shark.
Yeah, but squeaky shark.
That's fine. Shark will have done.
Well, what were you expecting?
It's a shark. It just says shark.
Oh, okay.
Question four. When we first see Sid, which toy is he about to destroy? Now, this is the hard one, which probably neither of you got.
I can hear Woody saying, oh, no. It's a...
And then I can't think. Joe? I bought a toy combat soldier.
Oh, that might be it. No, I just put army soldier.
I'll give Joe half a mark.
It's combat something.
It's combat Carl.
Carl.
Combat
Carl. I was thinking Cody, I don't know.
So, as you got half of it right, that's half a mark. Unfortunately, Richie.
I don't get anything. Oh, okay.
So, the current scores going to the final question. Joe's on 2.5. Richie's on...
3.
3.5. Oh, 3, sorry. Okay, so what's the name of Sid's toy mangling dog? Joe?
Scout?
Scud.
Richie's right.
Scud, oh.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a shame. You're thinking of To Kill a Mockingbird there, Joe.
Am I?
So, at the end of this week's quiz night, the final scores. Joe got 2.5 and Richie got 4.
Yeah.
So, Joe wins.
Oh, yay!
Sorry!
How on earth does Joe win?
Sorry, that's obviously wrong. Richie wins.
Yes, quite right.
And now he's on 3, Joe's on 2, Woo. And I'm still on 0. But that will change next week.
Okay.
Don't do any stupid questions next week where it's like closest to. That's where I always fail.
Or closest to what?
When he did closest to how many times the word fuck is said, and that question you did that threw me when you said which characters in this film were in the Harry Potter series. That was so unfair.
You could have won that easily. You mentioned a Harry Potter character earlier in the episode.
Yeah. I just want to get a point on the board.
Well, stop being shit then.
Join us next week for quiz night where Joe will be the quizmaster.
This week the upcoming David Brent film Life on the Road has been confirmed for summer 2016. So I figured it would be good to kind of see how you guys feel about this film. Are you looking forward to it? Are you not looking forward to it? What do you think?
I can't say I am, Richie. Obviously The Office was great. But I don't know. I'm just not excited for it. I mean, no. It was so long ago, and it's sort of passed now. And
yeah.
Like you said earlier, what was it? It was only going to be 2 series and a Christmas special.
Yeah, they always said, Steve Merchant and Ricky Gervais always said that they wanted to do 2 series and a Christmas special because they were kind of inspired by Fawlty Towers only doing 2 series because it leaves the audience wanting more. It keeps it fresh and great.
Mm.
But now he's been doing these YouTube things in the character of David Brent. Yeah. Yeah. And he's still doing comic relief stuff, and now he's doing a film of it, and it's just, do we even care anymore about this character?
I just don't really find him that funny anymore.
I don't find him funny at all. Have you seen Derek?
Yeah.
Mm. Awful.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
Derek.
I
mean, that's not meant to be a proper laugh out loud comedy, really.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bit
it's supposed to be half laugh out loud comedy, and then half...
It's got serious undertones.
Yeah, well, it's just self-righteous... Bollocks.
Yeah, I don't really find it.
It's just Ricky Gervais wanting people to...
The best part about it is Carl Pilkington.
Well, yeah. But then he's just... Ricky Gervais has just written the character of Carl Pilkington because he loves that character.
I didn't even see the second series.
No, I don't think I did either, actually.
Of Derek. No, I didn't know. Well, I didn't
is
get
Carl Pilkington even in the second series? I don't know. I don't think he was in it.
No, I haven't seen it. So.
But it wasn't good.
Anyway. I'm just not excited at all for it, and... Like I said, I don't really find it that funny. The Office was good, but I mean, people rave about The Office. I wasn't that much of a fan.
Really? No, I love The Office. I think it's great.
It was good, but I'm not a great. Huge fan. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
No, I wasn't.
And obviously now the film's coming out. How many years later? Like when was the last series of The Office?
I think it started in 2001.
Really? Wow.
And I think the Christmas special was 2003. Oh, I might have got that wrong.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I mean, you can. I think it's a bit of a desperate attempt, really, just to do it for the sake of it.
Yeah.
So no, I won't be going to see it.
I might go and see it, but I don't think I'll like it.
Mm. I might go if we go together, or just for something to do, maybe.
Yeah.
But no,
let's talk about it on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
But no, I'm not really too fussed, to be honest. But
no, I'm not.
If you guys are, then please let us know and tell us why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll tell you why you're wrong.
No, we accept
all views.
All views. Obviously, this is an opinion-based podcast, so there are no right or wrong answers.
There are.
I suppose there might be.
There are.
Okay. There definitely are.
Also in the news this week, we have a trailer for the Steve Jobs biopic, which is entitled Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I think that's the first point to mention. I'm not too sure about the title.
Yeah, not a great title, really, no. Is it?
It's exactly what it says on the tin. But no, I think they could have
come up with something a bit more imaginative. Maybe they'll change the name.
Maybe they should call it I something. That'd be really
brilliant.
Cool. iMovie.
right into them iMovie. Jack.
That would be better than Steve Jobs still.
Well, probably wouldn't actually.
Well, they already called one of their apps iMovie, so
yeah.
No, but it was just the first teaser trailer.
iRobot.
I mean, there was a lot of names in there that I didn't realise were connected to this film. You mentioned Kate Winslet.
Yeah, stars Michael Fassbender.
I didn't know Seth Rogen was in it. I like that.
Yeah,
I'm really excited for it, actually, having, because I didn't even know there was. I mean, I'd heard about it I've heard sort of little bits and pieces about it, and I knew it was coming up at some point. I didn't know it was this soon, actually. Mm. When is it coming up?
October the 9th in the US and November the 13th, I think, in the UK.
So it's November. So, yeah, earlier than I thought, and it sort of crept up on me. I mean, still quite a way to go, like November, a good few months away, but this will be definitely one that we probably, as a trio, go and see at the cinema.
Definitely.
Get the full experience.
Yeah.
But that teaser trailer was really good, actually.
It was, yeah. Yeah, I like biopics like that.
Didn't give anything away. Really, really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, especially since it's the screenwriter is Aaron Sorkin, whom I love. I mean, you both, well, Jack certainly knows how much I love Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. That's one of my favourite TV. Well, I don't know about that anymore, but quite old now. But it used to be one of my favourite TV programmes, anyway.
Mm.
And also, The Newsroom is good. And I also love the other biopic he did, The Social Network.
Mm. Yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, he did that. And it was great.
That was a great film.
Yeah.
Also, what do you think about Danny Boyle directing?
Yeah, that should be good. Obviously, I'm not personally a fan of Slumdog Millionaire.
I'm a massive fan of 127 Hours, though.
Well, I am. I know that you're actually not, and you're lying.
Well, no.
You didn't like it, you said.
I didn't really like it. I mean, after I'd watched it, I thought, well, what was I expecting? What could they do? He was trapped there for 127 hours.
You were just excited by the idea of somebody cutting their arm off.
That's all I wanted to see.
really?
And then when you realised that actually there was a couple of hours worth of other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Did it just go on too long?
I don't know what.
I don't think it did.
No, it didn't go on too long at all. It was quite short, actually, from memory.
Mm.
But I don't know what I was expecting from it. It's a bit boring, really.
Yeah. Disagree.
Well, yeah.
I loved the things that Danny Boyle did with it, actually. The direction was great, especially considering that it's just him standing by a rock.
Well, yeah, that is the difficulty.
Yeah. But he got loads more in there. There's all that kind of memory stuff.
Yeah.
And things. And
those two girls.
Yeah, and him.
Did that actually happen? Is that
what?
Did he actually meet two girls? I'll add that into the story.
I'm not sure. I think I looked that up at some point, but I can't remember now.
Don't get me wrong, I didn't hate the film.
But there's this sequence that I love where he's daydreaming about drinks and it shows all those adverts of Coca-Cola and it zooms all the way back to his car where there's a drink in his car and he's thinking about it, and I just think that sequence is brilliantly done. It's one of my favourite.
All the bit where all of a sudden the heavens open, there's a massive storm and the cave fills up.
Yeah,
and I actually thought that was genuinely happening.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I should have realised that.
You thought, oh, they tricked us. He's not really going to cut his arm off.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that was a good sequence as well. I didn't. I did like the film, but I don't know, I just, yeah, for some reason I had really high expectations for it.
Yeah. Right.
But this is way off topic.
But I think, yeah, I think for this, for Steve Jobs, I think there's a great range of actors and a great director and a great screenwriter, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really strong cast.
Yeah, as long as they change the name.
I don't think they will.
No, maybe not.
It'll be a long time before we review that one, but when that episode does come, and I'm giving my rating for the film, I certainly won't be docking it points for the title.
Okay. All right, does anyone want to say anything more on that subject?
I don't think so. I think
no. Everything else. All right.
Yeah, looking forward to it. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Cool. Let's move on. Has anyone watched anything this week at all?
Not this week, I'm afraid.
No, been
a dry week for me.
Neither of you. Okay. Well, I'll mention that I watched The Producers the other day, which is, I don't know if either of you have seen it before.
No, heard of it, but not seen it.
Well, there's actually two films of it, and I watched the second one, which stars Nathan Lane, Matthew Broderick, Ferris Bueller, Uma Thurman, and Will Ferrell.
Right.
And it's a comedy musical film about these two kind of... Well, there's one that's a producer and one that's an accountant, and they both decide to produce a really shitty play. So that they can get a load of cash from it, because they realize that you can make more money from making a flop than you can from making a really good.
This is quite recent.
Huh?
How recent is this?
Not recent at all.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, this specific one I think was 90s.
Really?
Yeah. What? But they turned it into, since the film, they turned it into a stage show, which is quite popular. But it was really enjoyable. I loved everything about it. I mean, the idea is that the play they go for when they're deciding on what terrible play to do is one that was written by an ex, written by a member of the Nazi party. And it's called Springtime for Hitler, the play that they do. And it's, I don't know, the way it all plays out eventually and culminates to this final play is just hilarious, and everything about it.
I would like to see it, actually, but from what you've just said, it sounds good.
Yeah, I think it would be a good one for us to talk about at some point.
I didn't know it had any... I didn't know anything about it, really, so it sounds really good. I didn't know it was a comedy.
Yeah, it is. It is really, really funny. Do you know Nathan Lane? You would know him as Timon from The Lion King.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, Timon and Pumbaa. So,
no, did not.
I don't know if you'll have seen him in anything else, Jack, or I don't know, Joe.
No, I'm not
sure.
Doesn't ring any bells with me.
But obviously you know Will Ferrell and Matthew Broderick and Uma Thurman.
Yeah. We should do a Kill Bill review, so that's a good idea.
One thing at a time. That's basically all I wanted to say. Just thought I'd get it out there.
Sounds really good. I'd like to watch that. You've sold it to me.
Ah, well, yeah. I'm glad. I hope I've sold it to a few of our fans as well.
Yeah,
I'm
sure those millions and millions.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. If you want to email us with any questions or feedback or anything at all, you can email us at filmnight@yahoo.co.uk. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at filmnight_. If you want to follow us individually, you can find me at Richie Withers, Joe is at Jay McLafferty, and Jack is at the Jack Clark. Please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes. It would really help us out. And on that note, I guess I'll say it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.